The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I want to welcome those that are joining us online today. Thank you for inviting us into your home or wherever you're at, as well as down at our Westside campus. We appreciate that you're here today. And of course, I have to say to you, Happy New Year. I realize that it would have been more appropriate to say that last Sunday, but I wasn't here last Sunday. I happened to be in the Houston area for a little anniversary getaway. We got married on New Year's Eve. And I just want to let you know, we did have some good weather, but last Sunday when we were there, it was 38 degrees in Houston and 35 degrees in Colorado Springs, so it really wasn't much better. I was ready to be back home. Well, can you believe that it is 2022 already? How many of you here would say you're ready for a new year and you're looking forward to it? Anybody here ready for a new year? I think a lot of us are ready for a new year. There was a USA Today poll that was done that revealed that even though Americans actually described 2021 as chaos and a train wreck, they're still fairly optimistic about 2022. After searching for words to convey how awful that they thought 2021 was, nearly half said that the word that best described their mood about 2022, could you guess? It was hopeful. It was hopeful. When asked about their view of the year ahead, 46%, almost half of them said hopeful. Now, there were 19% who said worried and 18% who said exhausted, and there's probably some here that would think that as well. But months ago, as I was preparing for and praying over what series would be appropriate to start off this new year, I was just thinking about what we've been through these past couple of years. And it's not been very easy, has it? I mean, 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic, and we've seen a rise in depression and anxiety and stress and addiction and numerous other challenges. And that's at least, I think, partly because when we got through 2020, we were hoping that the virus was on its way out. It was not. And it's stayed with us and continues to dominate the news almost every day. And we know by now, dealing with COVID has added so many layers of frustration and disillusionment and discouragement and disappointment to our lives. And as we start the new year, I think while we're really hoping that things are going to get better, we also recognize there's no guarantee of that, which is why there is still some significant wariness as well as weariness about what's coming next. And I think in spite of that, we heard that from the poll, that every new year really arrives with two outlooks. And when the new year starts, I think it arrives with two outlooks. And the first, as we saw in the poll, would be hope. The people go to a new year with hope. And hope is a feeling of desire and expectation that things are going to go well in the future. And that's kind of when we arrive at a new year, what we're hopeful for. But the second outlook that they arrive with, the new year, would be that of uncertainty. Because we really don't know what's going to happen. And uncertainty is a state of doubt about the future. And honestly, there's really good reason for both of those things, hope and uncertainty, because we've all seen things get better at other some time, and we've all seen things get worse as well. I really honestly thought 2020 was one of the most difficult years I had ever experienced. And then 2021 happened. And for me personally, it got even worse. I made the decision to become a Christ follower when I was about 8 years old. And that means I've been a Christ follower for over 50 years. And I would just have to say that in many ways, I feel like my faith has been stretched more in the last 2 years than any of the previous 50 years. And so honestly, I want to be hopeful about 2020. And there's a reason why hope is so important to us, because hope really is the energy of life. If you're hopeless, you don't have much energy in your life. As someone I think once wisely said, where there's no hope in the future, there's really no power in the present. There's also a reason why uncertainty can be so detrimental to us if we're not careful, because uncertainty can cause anxiety. When we don't know exactly what's going to happen, we get a little bit anxious about that. And anxiety can be an emotional drain, and it can create a lot of mental turmoil in our lives, especially if we have that anxiety because we can't tell if things are going to work to our advantage or to our detriment. And given these two outlooks, I would want to present to you that I think we should probably try to approach each new year, maybe each new day, with what I would call optimistic realism. Optimistic realism. Now, optimistic realism says, hey, life will likely give you a fair amount of lemons, but lemonade is always an option. There's that optimistic realism. Optimistic realism says, I have reason to be hopeful even in the midst of some dubious circumstances. Now, before we try to figure out how we can actually live with that kind of optimistic realism, I need to remind you that thrown into the mix of all of this are really five realities that you cannot change. And there's some things about life that we wish were different or wish were happened another way, but they really can't change them. These are things that we simply have no control over, and as much as we'd like to change them, we can't. They're going to be a part of the equation whether we like it or not. But here's where our faith comes in, because what a difference it makes when you bring God into the equation. That's the huge difference. And honestly, that's what this series that we're starting today called Even Though is really all about. What matters more than what tomorrow holds is who you believe oversees that tomorrow. And that's really the only true source of hope and the only true antidote to all the uncertainty that we are bound to face. But let's get back to those five things we cannot change. Are you ready? Number one, everything changes or ends. That's not going to change. I think I've heard it said rightly before, the only person who really likes change is a wet baby. Because we really, the rest of us, would kind of like things to stay the same. But things change. Life is full of seasons, and each season has different requirements. And that's where it gets kind of hard, because we get to a different season, and we have to learn some new and different things. So everything changes or ends. Second thing we cannot change, reality, is that things do not always go according to plan. Have you noticed that? Have you heard the statement before, I love it when a plan comes together? That was made famous by Colonel John Hannibal Smith from that mid-1980s television show, The A-Team. Some of you have seen that. And it was good when a plan came together, but that's not always how it happens, is it? Somebody else, I think it was written in a poem, said, the best laid plans of mice and men don't always come to be. That's the reality. Third reality is life is not always fair. And that kind of grates against us, because we want things to be fair. Did any of you, when you were growing up, did your parents say to you, hey, sorry, life's not fair? Any of your parents say that to you? And then how many of you whose parents said that to you have said those exact same things to your own children at one time or another? You said, hey, that's not, life's not fair. That's not going to change either. Number four, pain is a part of life. And as much as we would like to try to get rid of it, it's not going anywhere. And if you haven't noted yet, pain really is a pain. But it's going to stick around at least for a while. We'll find out when the end will come. And then number five, people are not loving and loyal all of the time. In fact, how many of you would be willing to admit that this past year you've been disappointed by at least one person? How many would say you've been disappointed? Yeah, we've all had that experience, because people are not loving and loyal all of the time. And so don't expect this year to be any different from any of these areas. That's the realistic aspect of our outlook. Now, you're probably coming in today and hoping I'm just going to be excited about the new year, and you're saying, wow, Brian, that's not very encouraging so far. In fact, that's kind of depressing. And I have to say, I want to be honest with you. It is the reality we face. And honestly, it's one of the reasons why I don't understand how anyone can really make it in this world today without knowing God. I don't know how you can make it in this world without knowing God. Christ followers are the one group of people in this world who can live with hope despite what the world throws at us. See, hope and optimism are rooted in God's faithfulness regardless of our situation. And that's the optimistic aspect of our outlook. Now, how did we wind up here? We're doing this study, if you haven't noticed, maybe of Psalm 23. Well, I was on a study break back in September, and literally, it was so unexpected. One day, I really feel like God literally woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning with Psalm 23 clearly on my mind, before my mind. And it hadn't been on the radar at all. I hadn't given it a thought for maybe far too long. And it was in the forefront of my mind. I couldn't get it off my mind. So I began to spend some time with Psalm 23. And the more time I spent, the more I began to recognize it's not by accident that Psalm 23 is one of the most well-known and most beloved chapters in all of the Bible. And that's because it is a powerful, beautiful expression of recognizing that beyond our circumstances, there is a God who is faithful and fully in charge that we can trust. But what we've got to recognize is that that doesn't mean that life is not going to still be messy. Things are going to happen that we don't understand that can cause, if we're not careful, some disillusionment in our faith in God. And it's during these times that we need to be able to reframe our circumstances based on the truth of God's Word. And I think what that looks like is being able to say and believe that even though our circumstances might say one thing, the truth of God is greater than what's true about our life. And I think that's been really the power of the 23rd Psalm, and it's that the power it's had in encouraging and sustaining so many people down through the ages. Now, we've heard it a couple times already, but I wanted us, as we get started today, if we could just to read that together. We're going to do it out of the King James Version. That's kind of what I grew up with and remember some of the words. And so could we read it aloud together? Would you join me as we read? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Now, King David, who is the author of this psalm, actually, we know, started out as a shepherd. And so he knew what it was like to be a shepherd. But it's clear when we read this that he also understands what it was like to be shepherded. And he's acknowledging that even though his circumstances could lead him to doubt and to discouragement, he was choosing to trust in his shepherd's presence and provision. And that's why I would just want to say today that I believe the 23rd Psalm provides three perspective-changing viewpoints of life that we're going to need as we move into this, you know, this next year. And the power of really the 23rd Psalm can be found in two simple words spoken together. Even though. And even though really is optimistic realism. It's acknowledging while there might be some things in our life that are amiss, God always brings hope into the equation. And so for the next 3 weeks following this week, we're actually going to be packing all three of those even though statements in great detail. But today, just want to kind of introduce them to you. And here they are. Number one, even though I don't have everything I want, I do have everything I need. Even though I don't have everything I want, I do have everything I need. And I'm guessing since we just came through the Christmas season, that there are some things that not even Santa was able to provide from your wish list or from your want list. But David wrote there, "When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Other translations will translate it and say, "When the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Now, the challenge with having God as your shepherd is that you're really going to have to trust your shepherd in that area, because what God sees as your need may not be exactly what you want. On more than one occasion, I've questioned some of the things that God has allowed me to face. And that could be where some of you are at today. Maybe in relationships that you have that are broken, or a job that really isn't going where you want it to go, or health that is failing, or finances that are not where they need to be. I'm wondering, when you've read through the Bible, are there ever any verses you come across that you wish weren't there? I've come across a few. Because it's stuff I recognize I need, but I really don't want. And one of those is in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I have a hard time getting here, because what James writes there is says, consider it not just joy. He has to say pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. And why would God allow that? Well, because sometimes what we need isn't necessarily what we want. He says, you know, that the testing of your faith actually develops, produces perseverance, and you need to let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Notice it says, not lacking anything. Now, I just want to tell you, next week we're going to dig into that thought deeper. Even though I don't have everything I want, I have everything I need. The second "even though" statement originates from those very words, as David writes, if you remember, "even though," he says, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The New Living Translation reads this way, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." And the second "even though" statement we're going to look at in 2 weeks will be, "Even though life may appear overwhelming, God's presence is permanent." Even though life may appear overwhelming, God's presence is permanent. One of the greatest challenges, faith challenges, we will ever face, I believe, is being able to trust God's presence when it feels like he's absent. And I would imagine that every one of us have found ourselves in that place. And let's be honest, that silence can sometimes be deafening when you're just desperate to experience God's presence and you're not feeling it. It's when you've got to trust that his presence is permanent. And he's pretty clear about that. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And if that's true, and I believe it is, the list of all the times that we can expect God to be absent from us or forsake us is going to be fairly short. It's actually going to be non-existent. And we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. Then the third "even though" statement I think we can pull out of 23rd Psalm is that even though there will be challenges to go through, I have something to go to. Even though there will be challenges to go through, I have something to go to. The backdrop of every believer's life is really, it's heaven. And David said it this way, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And what that means is, regardless of what's going on in your life right now, what should be overshadowing it is your hope of heaven. The Apostle Paul, when all he went through, that's the only way I think he made it. And that's why, because he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed in us." Now, I just want to remind you, what we're not saying here is, oh, regardless of my circumstances, I'm just going to try to think positively and maybe everything will get better. No, the Bible says heaven is to be a hope for us that becomes an anchor for our soul. So that when we're being pulled and tested in many ways, we have that anchor. And honestly, I got to share with you, it's the reason why if you ask me how I'm doing, quite often I will reply, I've never been better. And you know, I say that to people and I recognize sometimes people misunderstand what I'm saying. And so please understand that when I say I've never been better, I'm not trying to just think positive or pretend that my life is perfect or that it's the best day of my life. I've said it on some days when I felt were kind of the worst day of my life. What I'm trying to remind myself of when I say that is that no matter what I have to go through, I have something better to go to. Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so when I say never better, it's just to remind myself that I'm closer to heaven today than I've ever been before. And when I read in the Bible, it sure sounds like heaven is going to be the best thing that ever happened to us. Because we're told that it's there that God's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. It's there that there will be no more death or crying or mourning or pain. That's when pain won't be a reality. And I got to be honest with you, these past 2 years have made it harder for me to say never better than ever before. Because it sure hasn't felt like never better. Now, I believe that those three, even those, are exactly what we're going to need as we head into 2022 and beyond. But I got to say, as we look at Psalm 23, that it's not going to mean that much to you unless you've actually surrendered your life to God. You have to surrender your life to Him. The reason that was so powerful for David was he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's not the Lord. The Lord might be my shepherd, or He could be my shepherd, or He should be my shepherd. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you're going to have to choose who or what is going to be your shepherd. And we make that choice every day. And those key words, five key words are, "The Lord is my shepherd." You have to decide who or what is going to be in control of your life. Who is it that you are going to follow? Who is it that you're going to trust? Who is that you're going to let lead you? Is it going to be money or possessions or relationships or your physical health or your other world philosophy? Or will God be your shepherd? Now, when God selected an animal to represent us, He decided on sheep. And it's not a very flattering designation. I mean, honestly, there are dozens of other animals I'd rather be compared to than a sheep. Most of them are mascots for sports teams. Like, how about like eagles or falcons or sharks or bears or tigers or wolverines or mustangs? Sheep. They're mascots for mattress companies. They're not fierce. They're not smart. They've been known for wandering into places where they shouldn't be. But if the Lord is your shepherd, that makes you a sheep. Entirely and always dependent on your shepherd, whether you realize it or not. But here's what we've got to understand. If you don't recognize yourself as a sheep, you're probably not going to see your need for God to be your shepherd. When we open our eyes to how much we really need and rely on God for everything, the more we begin to recognize His provision in our lives. But if we try to live in the lie that we can do this on our own, thank you, we don't need any help, we wander and drift away from our one true source, looking for satisfaction in artificial places. See, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14, He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." And that's what makes the difference. Because when God is your shepherd, His truth is more important than what's true about your life. See, it's only when God is truly your shepherd that you can begin to authentically say, even though Because the Lord was the Apostle Paul's shepherd. That's what he could say. And here's how he said it. He didn't use these exact words, but in 2 Corinthians 4, he could have easily said, even though we're hard pressed on every side, we're not being crushed. Even though we feel pretty perplexed about life, we're not in despair. Even though we're being persecuted daily, we're not abandoned. Even though we're being struck down, we're not destroyed. Now, I have no idea what this year will bring, but I can guarantee you that you are going to need to reframe some of your circumstances based on the truth of God's word. And in an effort to try to help you with that, we're going to talk about having some aha moments, because I think we all need some aha moments. And the dictionary says that an aha moment is a moment of sudden realization, inspiration, insight, recognition, or comprehension. And you got to know, your perspective on life, your perspective on life is going to make you or break you. And what we've done this year is put together a little journal after we get through 23rd Psalm, a little journal to provide you with even more perspective-changing verses in the Bible to help you experience some aha moments so that you can reframe your circumstances based on the truth of God's word. And I would just encourage you, anytime you begin to lose perspective, and there'll be opportunity for that, grab the AHA journal, find a verse that helps you kind of regain your perspective by putting your trust in God, and then there's a spot for you to record your AHA moment. Now, you got to recognize, pastors love acrostics, so guess what AHA stands for? There's an acrostic to go with it. Letter A, the first letter A, stands for awareness. And it's just something you maybe need to be aware of. What did I need to know? What do I need to learn about God that can help change my perspective? Letter H is hope. How does this truth help me regain my perspective by giving me some hope? And then you got to have some application. What do I need to do, or how do I need to respond in order for this truth about God to take root and bear fruit in my life? And the verses aren't arranged in any particular order, so I'd encourage you to just look through, find one that creates that aha moment. And then do the exercise. They're available on a table out there with you. Leave. They're a gift. If you want to help out with the cost, you're welcome to do that. All that to say, folks, I can guarantee you this in this coming year. Here's what I'll guarantee you in this coming year. Uncertainty encapsulated by the certainty of God. Uncertainty encapsulated by the certainty of God. There are going to be some times, in fact, I've already experienced a few of those moments when I've needed to be able to say, okay, even though this doesn't look good or doesn't seem to be going very well, even though. I think it could be kind of like the man years ago who was pretty distraught and tense and anxious about some things in his life that had happened to him in the past. And so he went to talk to his pastor about it, and after talking him to a while, the pastor said to him, you know, if you had a physical problem, you'd probably get a prescription from your doctor. But since you're dealing with something that is spiritual, it's a spiritual issue, I'd still like to give you a prescription, but it'll be a different kind of prescription. So he told the man that for the next week, he needed to very prayerfully and carefully read Psalm 23 5 times a day. When he got up in the morning, before each meal, and before he went to bed at the end of the day. And he said that that man, when he came back a week later, he was a different person. Totally at peace. Not like that kid was. I feel bad. That's hard when you're a parent. That's hard. But he came back totally at peace. His shepherd was getting him through. Now, we're going to wrap up the message today a little different than we normally do. Instead of prayer and then a response song, I want to just take a breath as we start this new year. And I want to give you several moments to reflect and to think about that place in your life where God's truth needs to become greater than what's true about your life. It's that thing that you're kind of struggling with or dealing with. Maybe in these next few moments, you could just read through Psalm 23 again. Maybe if you have not yet ask God to be your shepherd. You could make that request of him. Or maybe you could ask him to gently remind you that he is your shepherd. Maybe you could identify an uncertainty that's causing you anxiety in life and maybe commit that to God. And so just for the next few moments, we're going to have some music play in the background. Take a moment. Take a breath. For the gift of a new year. We haven't seen what's around the corner, but you've already been there. And you're here with us now, ready to go through that year with us. And so I pray that we would walk with you faithfully, trust you, believe in you, and that you would be our God, and that we would follow. Help us to be smarter as sheep, more dependent upon you than we've ever been before. And I pray that your truth that you reveal to us in your word really would be greater than what is true about our lives this year. We ask and pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.